I'm Notts head coach, Peter Moores.
I'm Notts captain, Stephen Mullaney, and you're listening to the Talk of Trent Bridge podcast,
presented by Luke Fletcher.
Wickets tumbling now, and it's Samit Patel again.
Alex Hales jumps to the skies, one of the great, great one-day innings.
Nottinghamshire!
Okay, welcome to podcast number 12, I believe it is. Today's guests are Peter Moores and Will Frayne with us. Lads, thanks for coming in this morning. It's great to see you bright and early. Frayne, you got up at 6 o'clock, didn't you?
I did.
Said your mum had to get you up, didn't she?
Yeah, she woke me up nice and early this morning.
Get yourself down here from the north.
Oh, absolutely. Beautiful drive down on the M1.
Did Karen wake you up, Moorsy, or were you up?
Oh, no, Karen wasn't moving yet this morning. Nobody's moving in our house.
Tom's still in bed, isn't he?
Tom's still asleep, yeah. Tom is a late riser.
He is, isn't he? Well, thanks, chaps, for coming on. On the podcast, it's been a while. We've had 12, as we said now, so it's nice to have you on eventually, Moorsy. And Frayne, you weren't even at the club when we started the podcast, so congratulations to you, mate. You made your debut a week ago?
Against Northants on Friday.
Yeah. It must be weird for you, mate. You probably watched it from afar last year, and you obviously weren't involved in a professional environment. And now you're batting with Dan Christian, the Notts T20 captain, who won the cup last year. How's that feel, mate?
Oh, it's I've still not quite wrapped my head around it. Yeah, it's as I say, this summer's been mad. It's been absolutely mad, and I've loved every second of it. And just getting to speak with people like Dan and likes of yourself and Ish, and yeah, as you say, like last year I was watching the comp at home, sat up with a beer with my mates, and now I'm walking into bat, and I'm like, oh my God, I've got to pinch myself a bit. So
it's crazy, isn't it? Pete, how good is that? That's what sport's all about, isn't it?
That's what it's all about. And credit to Frayne, because if you think. We brought Frayne down a bit, like on a trial day here in some ways. He played really well in the twos. I've been to watch, came down. We had a couple of injuries and stuff like that. Came in, played really well in the net, straight into his first game of Royal London on Sky.
It was.
Massive game. Straight in there. First game of the tournament, I think, for us. And Frayne came in and did brilliantly. And I think he's shown that all the way through. Every time he's come in, he's shown that though he's not been in it for long, he likes the big occasion. And I think that's fantastic for him.
Yeah, mate, and I've got to talk about your run out of Northants. You're in the side to smack it down the order, because that's what you do, and you do it really well. But you've not really had the proper crack yet. You've been going in with, what, two overs left, which is difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, it's difficult.
Only a few people can pull that off. That run out of Northants, mate. The bobbly outfield, it's laid terribly. It's like a football pitch, isn't it? It's all over the shop. Talk us through your run out, mate.
Well, I've got to tell you, when I'm playing the first team, it's been in the field, I've been going so well, and I don't really know why, because when I walk out to field, I am literally so nervous. I mean, I'm more nervous fielding than I am batting. I feel batting is instinctive, and I can just do that, but fielding, I'm always like, right, I've got to be on it. And I think that kind of helps, thinking that I'm on the boundary, and I'm like, right, my job is to save two or take a catch. And even though there was a lot of talk about the outfield, I was just like, just do it. And then obviously it probably wasn't Isher's best ball that he's bowled in his life, and Wakeley's hit it nicely, and I thought, you know, I was like, right, I'll sprint after this, and I was like, okay, I'll put a dive in, and then it just stuck in my left hand, and to be honest with you, it was all a blur. Then I just threw it,
and the throw was just as good as a stop, wasn't it, Morty?
Honestly, I think it's probably the best bits of outfielding I've ever seen.
That is unbelievable. You've seen a lot of fielding as well,
but to take it was hit hard, take it in your left hand, get up straight away, throw it one bounce over the top to Ish. I mean, they didn't even attempt to. Wakeley just sort of backed up for his two and was left stranded. It was a brilliant bit of work, but I think Will probably sums it up. I mean, fielding, nine-tenths of fielding is being up for it. Yeah. And nerves is a way of getting up for it. If you can handle those nerves, which I think Will's shown that enough now, it means you're ready to go, which is after battle.
And you was getting a bit of stick in the crowd, weren't you, Northants? There was a few people down there. Had a few beers. They were down there, that curry and sweet stand, weren't they?
Yeah, I had like a nice little gathering that had followed me around. They actually followed me from Cow Corner to Square Leg at one point.
What, the same lads?
Same lads. Followed me. The whole Sammy went out there, got a little bit, but they followed me. And they were commenting on my trousers. I think one lad was, oi! I'd refrain from wearing them again, lad. I was like, good. Yes, good job.
Well, we got the points, didn't we? We don't have to go to Wantage Road until next year now.
So. Oh, fantastic.
Thank you very much. Pete, how pleased are you the way the sides bounce back after the disappointing start on Sky here at Trent Bridge against Warwickshire?
Yeah, I mean, that Sky game was a funny game, wasn't it? Because, I mean, we couldn't have been more up for the game, I don't think. Everybody's really excited about playing. It was at home. It's on Sky. It's start of 2020 season, so... The sort of prep up I thought was great. Everybody had been very specific about what they wanted to do. And when we played the game, we just didn't pitch up at all. So as a coach, you're always you're trying to work out what it is. And we had that little chat in the dressing room after. And actually, in some ways, I think it was Jake Ball said something about we didn't feel well either. And that, to me, was probably an indicator. I think everybody tried a bit too hard, really. Mm. And with that, we didn't get together like we normally do as a team. The last two games, it's been fantastic to watch. I think the fielding has been one of the things, the intent in that fielding. I think Paul Coughlan coming back in and Will coming to that side has helped. But there's been a real buzz about it. And a confidence, which is partly what we play with, isn't it? You know, we want to go out and play our cricket and just back ourselves. And I think Dan getting into form and stuff like that has really helped.
Yeah,
really
helped. Well, I was just going to mention that. Dan Christian, how ridiculous. If that was the same game you got the best one out of the world. That's got probably the best one day, or sorry, T20 100 you'll ever see as well. It was incredible, wasn't it?
Oh, ridiculous.
You was up the other end, weren't you,
Fred? I've never been as afraid in my life at the non-striker's end as I was at the end. Oh, my God. I've never seen someone hit the ball as hard as he did that day. Freakish.
It was, freakish, wasn't it?
I mean, it's interesting because Dan, I don't think, has ever felt like he's hit the ball better in his life. And he's played an awful lot of T20 cricket. But I've not... I mean, you just couldn't bowl at him, could you, on the day? I mean, there was a low full toss right near the end that he put over the houses somewhere. Never mind out of the ground. It went miles. And it just summed it up. He bowled that same ball. The bowler, I think it was just coming and bowled the same ball to the new batter and gone for any or whatever. No, it was.
Hit into my foot.
And he got one. And you thought, well, Dan's just playing a different game here.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was somebody said to me it was 10 after 10 balls and he was 100 after 37.
It's ridiculous.
Ridiculous batting, yeah.
We've been lucky at Notts. We've seen some... terrific knots, especially here at Trent Bridge, but away from home, that's got to be one of the best, isn't it? The pitch was a good pitch.
It looked like a 200 pitch, yeah. I thought, pretty early on. That first bit is always with the white balls a bit tricky because obviously the seam's still sharp and whatever. Mm. Once it settled down, it was 3 or 4 overs, you thought this is a good pitch. Mm. And we were actually behind a little bit, weren't we? I think, you know, we about 10 overs, you're thinking, and then suddenly they bowled Graham White, I think, that over, and Dan decided, oh, I quite like this.
Sorry,
so he did for six. Then he did for another six.
We do like
Then
Graham.
He did for another six. Yeah, we do like Graham. He's a
Graham's
top lad.
A good lad, but
and I think the left arm spin that day just was not a ground for left arm spin. Samit bowled 3 overs and he went all over the place.
He did, didn't he?
You know,
he
that was fun.
Not his best day.
He kept saying to me, Derek, it's one of them, isn't it? Yeah, we're all going to go at some stage. Like, Derek, don't worry about it, mate. We're all going over the road.
Everybody has to do.
Everyone goes, chaps, next up is Derbyshire away. So 2 from 3. How brutal is that place to go, Pete? You've spent 2 years with us now. You understand the rivalry between Notts and Derby. Is that a tough place to go and win?
It's got tougher, I think, over the last... I think John Wright's done a good job there. I mean, it was hard last year. We played really well that last year. I think it was one of the best games. We scored, I think, probably 20 above par, and then they got within 5 or 6 runs of the game. So that was credit to how well they're playing, I think, that season. They've struggled a bit at the start of this year. So I'm hoping we go there and they're a little bit low on confidence. But they're a good-looking team on paper.
Yeah.
There'll certainly be plenty of banter. So Franey, if he's on the edge, he'll get a bit more stick, that's
it's
for sure.
It's coming again, Franey. It's coming again, mate. I'm staying in the ring. Short third, man.
I'll lengthen my trousers for the next game.
But they've got some pace, haven't they, now? They've signed some pace, you know.
They've got
like
Ferguson, haven't they?
Lockie Ferguson and people like that. So it'll be a good game. We'll go there confident after 2 wins. Mm. You know, we're playing well. I think we've bowled and batted well. In the last 2 games and fielded well. So the key for us is, you know, I think we've learned as a group, you take nothing for granted. You get stuck in, you play the best you possibly can, and if somebody else plays better on that day, then you've got to take it on the chin.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they've got Wahab, Riaz, Ferguson, Franey. What's your, you know, you're coming in down the order, you know, you're looking forward to an opportunity to go and give it a blast again?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always I want to bat, obviously. I mean, with our batting lineup,
do you like to bat a bit higher? Obviously, difficult in the Notts team, isn't it? But
of course, I'd love to get an opportunity up the order. But I understand what my role is at the minute, and I'm more than happy doing that. I'm just happy getting it, as Pete's told me, just getting experience a bit this summer. Like, that's what it's all about, because it is. I mean, I've gone from trialling at places and playing some twos cricket and university cricket to, as you said, being thrown into TV games, T20, playing with you lads.
It's probably worth mentioning. I mean, you got a great 100, didn't you? The second team.
Yeah,
last week opening the bat in time. But that's again about doing it when it's really required. You know, we knew we were going to put somebody else into our team, so it became quite a big second team game. Will went in, got 100 off, I don't know, 50 odd balls, something like that. It was, you know, a fantastic knock. So I think we all know Will's got great talent at the top of the order. Yeah. And then I think, you know, part of getting into teams is versatility, being able to play anywhere, just get in the team to start with, and then slowly but surely try and get the spot you want.
Absolutely. Well, that's it. I mean, from your point of view, Franey, like I say, last year you were not involved in anything. Now you're actually playing with the Cheetoni Championship. It's crazy, isn't it? I still pitch results. Like, I missed out a lot of cricket last year, and I'm still looking around thinking this is unbelievable.
Oh, mate.
It's wicked. How good is it?
The buzz will never leave.
It's just mint, isn't it?
And I mean, I think the Butterfly's tournament might hopefully shrink a little bit as time goes on. That's what I'm hoping.
I don't think they do. Not in this format. I walk out and the fireworks going off and it's still...
Yeah. Oh,
I think it's more excitement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean.
You don't want them to go too much anyway, to start with. Because part of what gets you going.
Because then I probably won't want to play again. If you're not getting up for that, you're not going to be up for anything, are you?
I'll always be up for it. But I think Leicester was the one where I actually allowed myself to just enjoy it a bit more. Just breathe and be like, right, okay, I'm here. I can do this. I've done it before. I can do this. But I mean, yeah, just been pinching myself every game, really.
And the four-day stuff, so you've made your List A debut, you've made your T20 debut. Is the four-day debut on the radar this season? We're in a top position, second in the Championship, some big games coming up.
Yeah.
You see yourself trying to get in that set up?
Yeah, of course. I back myself as being an all... I feel like I'm a player that can play all three formats. As obviously, I picked up that injury about a month ago, so I've only had one game in the twos, but I got a nice 80-odd. Probably should have converted it into a bigger score, but I mean, I feel like Red Bull cricket actually this year is where I've done a bit better actually, which is weird for me. Definitely really want to try and get into that team if I can,
especially with the new signing, Pete. Firstly, congratulations, this is a great signing. With me and Frayne very happy with this one, Quinton de Kock.
Yeah,
when did he come on the radar?
A big one.
Well, I mean, he'd been floating around. We had, it's like most of these overseas, you're trying to find somebody who's available at the right time. And we've always said the same thing. We're going to go and try and go for quality players if we can. We wanted a bat to replace. We'd got three or four people we talked to, of which Quinton was one on the radar. And then eventually things fell into place. Quinton was keen to come. And it's fantastic to have him. You know, he's such an exciting cricketer. He sort of fits what we do, I think, here. You know, somebody said to me, we score faster in Championship cricket than anybody else, and probably in one day cricket. That's not something we do because it's not. It's a natural thing for the way our guys play. That's how we play. Yeah. So Quinton's that sort of player. He wants to get on the front foot. He wants to take the game to the opposition. I think as a left-hander, it's quite nice in our team as well because it changes it up a little bit. We're not overloaded with left-handers. And he brings great experience as a young player, one of the most exciting young players in world cricket at the moment. So fantastic to have him.
I think Tom actually said he's his favourite, he's his hero, he's his favourite cricketer. So for Tom to have Quinton de Kock in the same side, one of the people you look up to, it'd be like me having Freddie Flintoff. It'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so it's interesting.
For him,
Tom,
as well, keeper batter as well, left hander, he can learn a lot off Quinton de Kock.
So Tom's got these two. He's got his Gilchrist sort of from the past, if you know what I mean, who you can't not. Watching some of the footage of him bat and keep is fantastic, and that team. And then he's got de Kock, who's sort of like more relevant to him because he's a current player. Yeah. He's watched him play against England, the way he keeps, the way he bats, the way he carries himself. I think Quinton is fantastic.
Yeah, I'd be so excited for him. Watching Quinton de Kock on the world stage blasting it everywhere. Did he get 400s in a row?
Yeah.
Four one-day 100s in a row, was it?
Yeah, he had a fantastic period, didn't he, of about sort of 18 months. And actually, in some ways, he's a little dip, which players do. So I'm really excited that this is a great chance for him to come back now, having had a little bit of a breather, hopefully, and come back and use county cricket as an area to really push his game on again, which would be fantastic for us. You know, when players have got a point to prove the wrong thing, but they're really keen to actually get in and make the most of the opportunity, that's when you get the best out of them.
I mean, it just shows how four-day cricket is still alive, doesn't it? The players that we're attracting. So Ross Taylor wants to come in, wants to do well, gets stuck in with the lads, embraces the environment, doesn't it?
Bring
a bottle of red wine, brings a bottle of Ned, Sauvignon Blanc for the lads. I mean, and then we've got Quinton de Kock, who wants to come and get involved, get stuck in and help the lads and prove as a cricketer. So four-day cricket is not dead, is it?
It's alive. It's frustrating when you hear people say it's dying. Actually, of course, it's got its challenges. But a lot of people support four-day cricket and test match cricket who can't go to watch. But they still love it. They still support it. You've got live stream now. You've got the whole way of following it on the internet. So, you know, we get great crowds here. So I think, you know, when overseas players come, they really enjoy the fact that we get a decent atmosphere here. It's a good game of cricket. It's a beautiful ground to play at. And they love the experience.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Quinton de Kock signing, very, very good. Let's talk a bit about some players who have been injured and come back. Paul Coughlin. Franey, we'll start with you, then we'll go to Morsey. You know, how hard has he worked? You probably spent a bit of time in, you had a bit of a sore knee, didn't you? So how hard has he worked behind the scenes to get himself back ahead of schedule and back into the team, which is, I think, is incredible.
I mean, Coggs is a beauty. He's a great bloke to start with, and then just speaking to him a lot, because obviously I had my knee injury, I was in the gym with him a lot doing rehab, you can just tell that he just loves cricket and just wants to be out there. And I've not really, I've played against him once, and he's just a competitor. He just wants to win, and he's always there. And in the field, I mean, he's got to be the quickest runner I've ever seen on a cricket field. He just eats ground. Batting with him in the twos when I was on 60-odd and it was 30 degrees and he came in. I've never, I mean, Pete was there. I was honestly at the other end on my knees, like, couldn't, I was, oh, it was ridiculous. But, I mean, he's a really exciting all-rounder, one of our, one of the better players in the squad, I think, and it's so exciting to see him back.
Yeah, it is. But Pete, you must be chuffed as well that, you know, we didn't expect to see him this time of season, did we, really?
Yeah,
with what happened on his shoulder.
It's a massive credit to him and the work he's done, but also James Pye, Ross Eridge, Liam Price, all the sort of medical team. I mean, I think for him to be playing now after dislocating his shoulder in March is unheard of, really. I think it sort of goes a bit under the radar. But, I mean, it's, I mean, he saw the specialist. The specialist was amazed. He couldn't quite get his head around, I think, how far he'd gone. But he's not... I think Cogger's by a bloke. I think Will summed it up. He's competitive in everything he does. And he brings an energy. You've just played with him the last two games.
Brilliant.
You know what I mean? He loves it, but he's engaged totally, and he's absolutely about the team.
Yeah.
You can feel it, you know. Somebody gets a wicket, when somebody does well, he just feels it and wants it. So I love that approach, because I think the members will love him, because he wants to bowl aggressively. You know, he's a bit different to some of our bowlers. He'll bowl fast, and he'll bowl short at times. And as a batter, he wants to belt it. He's got more sophisticated as he's developed. But I think we'll be good for him, and I think he'll be great for us, and I'm really excited about it.
Well, his body on the line, even the other night, it's his T20 debut as well at Northlands, diving around, catching balls at fine leg. Unbelievable, wasn't it, really?
It was a great catch. The fine leg catch, he made look easy. Yeah. I think partly because, like Frenny said, he eats ground. He took two or three steps to his left and took a low catch and made it look simple. But he's a great athlete, and I think, as I say, I mean, watching Dan Christian run with him the other night, you know,
he's not slow.
Dan's quick, and Dan was putting a hard yard in there, wasn't he? Because the cock
it made me feel a bit better.
The one bloke I've ran with who's fast is James Taylor, and I think Cogger's getting the same treatment. I said to him, I said, just remember, I'm not as quick as you.
They get the hand.
So go steady, yeah. Just wait on me. I'll try my best, but I'm not coming back in for your.
It's better when we meet at Fletch, me and you. Me and
I've
you
never battled you, Freddie.
We battled at briefly.
Oh, we did? Old Trafford. We did, yeah, Old Trafford, yeah.
Very briefly, though, I think. It was about
we were
two or three,
weren't we? We're trying to.
Teeing off.
But, yeah, one of them things. Anyway. Let's talk a bit of Football World Cup. I can't get away from this subject because it's so exciting. Tonight is a semi-final against... Who's it against?
Croatia.
I just wanted to say France, though, because I know France were in the
final.
Been
watching it last night, yeah.
Luka Modric, is he a threat for England?
Oh, yeah, he's a threat. He's a world-class player. Yeah, but I think they've not played very well recently, like last couple of games, they scraped through a bit.
Croatia, they're really that good, they're not, are they?
I mean, they talk about them, this is their team, this is their team. I suppose we had our team of the generation that didn't quite go on and win a World Cup and all that sort of stuff. When we had Stevie G and all that sort of people in there.
Yeah, what a team that was.
What a team that was, exactly. But that didn't go on and win. They're talking about Croatia's, this is their era, I think, as they reckon. And Modric is a brilliant player, isn't he? I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But now it just feels like we've got a great chance, doesn't it? I mean,
it's coming home.
Exactly.
I can't stop singing that. I woke up this morning, it's coming.
Because it's on every radio station.
I'm just literally laying in bed like, it's coming.
It's brilliant.
You know, it is exciting. And I tell you what's been good. We've seemed to land the games on a day off, haven't we? Which is really nice.
Yeah, it's been great.
It's been good.
Been lucky, yeah.
So, it's Sunday if we get to the
Did you watch the highlights of the 91 last night after the French
game? Yeah.
And Bobby Robson in the dugout and stuff like that. I was feeling, obviously.
Oh,
that
God,
was
it was sad, wasn't it?
So tight, wasn't it? Because that was a good team, wasn't it? That would have had a chance.
Well, what was the 66 team like, Mozzie? Was that good?
Oh, yeah, 66. I was four at the time.
Well, you're the only one in this room who was alive at that time. I wasn't even thought of, Freddie. Was you?
No, it was 30 more years before I came about.
So let's have a score prediction just before we shut this podcast off. It's been a great one, actually. It's been good to talk to you both. What are you predicting tonight, Freddie?
I think we're just going to have a 1-0. 1-0 win. Harry Maguire at a corner again.
Harry Maguire.
And then we get our man of the moment. 2-1. I'm going for England.
Kane to score?
He's due, isn't he, Kane? I've getting Kane not to score because Kane's saving it for the final. Maybe we'll do a Jeff Hurst in the final, get hat trick.
Hat trick in the final.
1966.
That would be a big night.
The new Harry Kane. Oh, that would be a big night.
What are we doing Sunday morning? Just to put you on the spot, you having a barbecue for life?
That's a good question.
That's all right. Win a couple of wins or win at Derby, you'd think. Mm-hmm. Barbecue around Peter Moores.
Barbecue, nah. Just a little cheeky one. Look at you putting him under pressure.
No, no, no. You don't have to. There's only three cameras here. You know,
we'll get through the semi tonight. Let's see where we are.
Yeah, okay. That'll do. Anyway, chaps, thank you for giving us up your morning. We've got to go and train that Lady Bay because we look out the window to our left and Burks is preparing the pitch for the ODI, which that should be a good occasion as well. India playing well. And so are England. So thanks to Will Frayne and thanks to Peter Moores for giving up your time, chaps.
Cheers, Fletch.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, mate.
Always a pleasure.
Never a chore.